The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
This is Anton Bentley, and you're listening to Art for Art's Sake on Fresh FM. Today, I'm down at Zumo's having a coffee with David Colfe, who is a new author who has recently published his first book, Mad If You Do. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So, first of all, congratulations on finishing a novel. I know that's no mean feat, so congratulations on that. Can you tell us a little bit about this novel, Mad If You Do?
Well, it's set in the summer of 1980, and the main character is Sam. He's a charismatic young man of 18 years. He left New Zealand seeking adventure. And I think that he kind of thought the world was his oyster, and he went to Australia and lost his way a bit. And it's a series of dramatic events that unfold, and it traps him in a small south coast town of New South Wales. He meets and befriends expat Kiwis, and he discovers love amidst the summer heat. It's an incredibly hot summer. There's a drought happening, and bizarre events keep happening, and women keep coming after him and never seem to take no for an answer. And all the while, he's trapped in this town reporting to the New South Wales police for a misdemeanor that comes to unravel in this story in the heat of New South Wales, and the sort of only place to take solace is in the ocean.
Right. So how did you go about creating this main character of Sam, who I guess a lot of us are going to really relate to, because people of a certain age were in the 80s and doing OEs and that kind of thing?
Well, that's so. Right. And we still do OEs as a country. Young people seem to get their rite of passage from going overseas, and I think for Sam, he was one of those people. And of course, you draw upon your own experience, and the rest becomes imagination, really. So you could say there's a part of me in that, and there's a part of my imagination in that.
Fantastic. How about we have a small excerpt from the novel? Would you mind reading a bit for us?
Did you have something in mind?
I'll leave it to your choice as the author.
Okay, well, let's... Chapter 2, Sydney. We arrived in Sydney and passed unchecked through customs. For a fleeting moment, Billy Hayes came hurtling to mind, and I couldn't resist observing the overbearing custom officers in their blue uniforms, glaring at everyone passing through to collect their luggage from the carousels, spitting out suitcases, packs and parcels. People rushed and shoved to grab items they recognised. One of the officers had a well-trained beagle sniffing at the luggage as it went trundling past. Poor fucking Billy. He really got himself in a pickle. But I guess they would expect that kind of shit in a country like Turkey. He was always going to be up against it at an airport like Istanbul, carrying that shit. We stumbled warily through the exit doors into the arrival concourse to hordes of expectant relatives and friends, people of every creed and colour waiting for their family, their spouse or their lover to appear. Tanya hadn't arranged for anyone to pick us up. We walked outside to the taxi rank, engaged the closest taxi and piled our bags into the boot. The driver looked as though he'd just arrived from darkest Africa. His accent was strong, his English stilted. As we drove, I became increasingly overwhelmed by Sydney's size. Nothing could have prepared me for this. The city was densely populated and so busy, there were people, cars and buildings every way I looked. My eyes boggled with excitement as we neared the city centre with all its high-rise buildings reaching forever into the sky.
Fantastic, thank you. So what prompted you to write this novel at this time?
Well, the truth be known, I was planning on writing a script because actually it was a movie in my head. And when I went to write the script, I came unstuck, or I was trying to find dialogue that wasn't there, and then I realised perhaps I needed to write the book first and then the script afterwards. That seems odd, because I'm more of a visual person than a... I enjoy books immensely, and I think that, you know, writing is an art that will never die, but that was my initial goal.
Right. So, now you're an incredibly busy person. You make documentaries, you work on film and TV sets and so on. How do you balance the working life and the writing life? And I guess you must be really dedicated and have a very strict schedule to stick to.
I think that anybody that wants to achieve something has to have a plan, and you're right, part of a plan is to have a discipline, and you have to show up on the page regardless of whether you feel psyched into it for the day. I think you just have to have that integrity with yourself to sit down at a table or in a cafe. Some people are stimulated by other people being around them. Other people need quiet spaces in which to work, and or they need to be in nature to work. And I think it's whatever works, but you definitely have to be disciplined at your craft, and you have to turn up. And if it's not working one day, you may get, you know, a couple of pages out one day, and then maybe the next day it really flows. So I think it's a little bit like a river, isn't it? Ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows, right. So what was the most difficult part of the story to write for you?
I think there wasn't a most difficult part. I think it's more like touching on the discipline. So I think the most difficult thing is to be disciplined and to earn up to the page. And in my case, I don't know, maybe knowing when enough is enough is the challenge, and then coming to the second draft and getting rid of all your darlings, so to speak.
Right.
The things that maybe are personal to you or you think that are brilliant, that suddenly maybe you're pointed out to by your editor, that maybe that's just you being precious about something that you thought was should or could or was poignant to the story, but actually is perhaps superfluous. So the challenge is peeling back those layers so you've got something more succinct.
Right.
And to be honest, I didn't realise that my book would be as many pages as it was.
Right. So do you have a next writing project in mind, or will the next writing project be writing the screenplay?
The next project is ideally writing the screenplay, but I do have a plan to go to France next year, and I do have a small seed sort of germinating at the moment, which is set in Brazil of all places, and also in Spain. So it's going to require a little bit of research, a little bit of time in the country of Spain, perhaps predominantly in Barcelona, and
there'd be worse places to go to research, I'm sure.
To become familiar with the streets,
yep,
and so on in Barcelona, because most of the story is kind of set there.
So when you're starting to think about a new project, what kind of questions do you tend to ask yourself, or do you start with a theme, or what's the starting point?
Well, I think you have to have the characters and the idea of the main plot in the story, and then it's about creating subplots to go along with the story. And I also think that you have to have quite a strong sort of visual of where it's going, i.e., I think an end, because otherwise then you're aim. So I think once you've got the idea, you have to know where you want to take that story to, i.e. the end.
Right. So always having that end goal in sight.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, for me personally, I mean, for other writers, perhaps that's not necessarily the case. But
now, if you could tell your younger writing self any piece of advice, what do you think that would be?
I think the main thing is not to doubt yourself, and I think the main thing is to, again, be that person that turns up on the page and just keep writing, because it's more about practice. And even if you don't like what you write, if you keep on writing, then something germinates out of that for sure. And you know, you perhaps need to find someone that you're confident enough with, maybe write a short story or two to start with and see, and then read it out loud to yourself, and then find the confidence perhaps to share it with somebody and read it out loud to them, or give it to them to read, to give you the confidence to feel like, well, I actually can write a story, I can describe something.
Now, your novel, Mad If You Do, you've self-published. What's that process like?
Firstly, you need to find someone that you're happy with, and we found Copy Press, and mostly they've been supportive and good. So obviously, you need to create that relationship with them, take them your story, or make sure that before you get it printed, that you've had it edited by somebody besides yourself. At the very least, have it proofread. But I think the more important thing is to, once again, take it to an editor and work with an editor and get them to be your truth in a way, or that person that's going to challenge you about things that don't need to be there.
Fantastic. Now, I know the book is available at Page and Black Moors here in Nelson. That's where, right, else can people get a copy of the book?
You can get it at Unity Books in Wellington, and Scorpio Books in Christchurch, and you can also buy it online. You just need to put in Mad If You Do or David Colf, and it will put a search in and copy. So Copy Press will, and Amazon as well, and there's a couple of other websites as well, but basically do a search.
So, fantastic.
And you'll be able to find it online.
Great. Google is your friend. Indeed. Look, thanks so much for joining me today, David. I've really enjoyed talking to you and hearing about the process of writing your book, and best of luck with the next book or the screenplay, whichever comes first.
Thank you. Hopefully it'll be the screenplay, but we'll see what happens in France next year.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, and best of luck.
Thank you.